I, Charles the Fourth, or is it the Third? Bloody
pen. We will strive for the detoxification of the
Let me put it to you.
Can't just grow, concrete.
Yes, you
if
can.
You win by one, oh, you've won.
The phone went over the side.
It is time to join the
I just think everyone should be sure.
What the fuck is going on?
Hello, I'm Mark Steele. So welcome to my podcast, where each week I ask the question, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on?
Once again, we're all in agreement that the country has run out of money. Things are having to close because there's just none left. Birmingham, for example, is almost bankrupt and has cut almost everything, including all of its arts funding, because as anyone can see, the shortage of money has been caused by violinists in Birmingham. The government has done its best helping out the needy, like giving Michelle Moan £20 million to provide hospital equipment that she had no idea about at all, so it all got thrown in the bin. But despite all that effort, up come these greedy bastards going, "Would you like to hear me new concerto?" And Birmingham are having to close libraries as well, because they're the ones to waste all our money, the libraries, not the people who commissioned a £20 squillion railway that everybody said would never happen. And then they went, "It will still happen, but it's cost £30 squillion and it's only going to go from Euston to the end of the platform at Euston." No, they're not the people who caused it. The people who caused it were these greedy old people who sit all day in a library in Selly Oak going, "Have you got a book about tulips?" And Liz Truss bankrupted the place in 6 weeks like the most mental ever lottery winner. There, I've cost us £30 billion. No, it wasn't her that's lost the money. It was the Birmingham Fire Brigade buying a new ladder, the wasteful bastards. "We thought it would be handy for fires on the top floor." Oh, they make me sick. If they hadn't bought that, Liz would have had another £100 to lose. But oh no. The whole reason these people had to be in power, they said, was because the last government was wasting money. I remember them coming on every day with their explanations about how big the deficit was. If the deficit was a B, it would sting the whole of Mexico, they'd say. And then Grant Shapps would go, "Yes, and if every pound of the deficit was a cabbage, you'd be able to smell the deficit from the moon." So they cut absolutely everything, and now the deficit's even bigger. It's like Benjamin Netanyahu saying, "We are the party of low numbers of explosions." And in any case, this government's so stuffed, nobody takes any notice of their budget anymore at all, except for journalists. How will the 2p reduction affect the mood of... None of it makes any difference now. Jeremy Hunt might as well just have had a laugh and announced a £20 million windfall tax on flamingos. And Laura Koonsberg would go, "How will the new measures affect the average flamingo breeder? And could this win back support for Rishi Sunak amongst the flamingo community, the so-called pink wall?" And then Labour would go, "Let me be absolutely clear. We will stick to the government's flamingo plan, but we would go further and include ostriches." We're delighted on this podcast to have our very own Member of Parliament. And we were lucky one morning this week when George Galloway gave us exclusive access to his arrival at the House of Commons.
"Let me put it to you, cloakroom attendant. It is incumbent upon you to discharge your historic duty as guardian of the parliamentarian's apparel and assorted vestments, taking particular care of my glorious fedora, which was remarked upon by no less an iconic figure than Fidel Castro upon the occasion of the 40th anniversary of the mighty Cuban Revolution, in which he paid a keen interest in the velvety nature of the rim, in marked contrast to the buffoon Nicola Sturgeon, who exposed her unrisable ignorance by wrongly identifying it as a trilby. Furthermore, I am bestowing into your custody my illustrious cigars for safekeeping, whilst I resolve a dispute with Mr. Speaker concerning the egregious and totalitarian ruling which outlaws the legitimate partaking of high-quality Havana cigars in the House during the budget debate. I strongly counsel that you place the items in separate compartments and issue me with a little yellow ticket for each, lest you be held accountable for misappropriating the property of my workers' party. That, cloakroom attendant, is why I shall be surveying your actions with maximum scrutiny in order to ensure that there is no reoccurrence of the regrettable incident of yesterday, where you mistakenly handed me Jacob Rees-Mogg's top hat and monocle, an error which I only discovered several hours later during an interview with Emily Maitlis.
What the fuck is going on?
Now, you all know, if you've listened to this podcast even once, that it is not possible to work out what the fuck is going on without expert advice. And I am very lucky to have with me now someone who's not, I'll be honest with you, they're not an expert on fiscal bloody import ratio, export fucking finance, whatnot things. But he is an expert on many, many things. Mr. Justin Morehouse.
Oh, hello, Mark. Thank you so much for introducing me in the antithesis of what my entire stand-up oeuvre is about at the moment, which is no one's an expert.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am sick. You know when the government told us we're sick of experts?
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was quite exactly. happy. I was quite happy having experts, weren't you?
Well, exactly. I mean, as someone said quite reasonably, if you're on a plane and yeah. that, you don't go, oh, the fucking pilot, oh, he knows all about aeronautical this and bloody turbulence that. What about what the people want?
Exactly. They should
less
get the people. This is the analogy
out,
I was making last night as I was spewing new material out onto the stage for the first time, which is always horrible, isn't it? Is when I turn the radio on at 5 o'clock on a Saturday, I want to know what Jose Mourinho or Roy Hodgson or whoever has got a degree in football knowledge thinks about the game. Not what Barry from Twyford thinks. You know, why am I listening Barry, to you? What do you know?
What Barry from Twyford thinks you can get from the phone-ins. I've had enough, mate. I've been watching West Ham for 37 years, and I can tell you categorically that is the worst rubbish I've ever seen in all my life. Not just football, but anything. In any field of human endeavour, I have never seen anything worse than what they did today. They should be jailed, and the stadium should be burnt down,
exactly.
mate.
Exactly. And my other thought, when I was thinking about this last night, was they always throw themselves into it. Oh, you know, we've gone there, we've done this, and then we've gone at them, and it's not helped us. And I think, it's not you, mate. It's not you. And you sound like a kind of bloke who has problems with people misusing pronouns. You know, get your thems and theys right, mate, because it's not you, Dave. It's not you.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, football fans should have a thing at the top of their social media that says, me, we.
Yeah. Me knobhead. That's what most of them should have.
Me knobhead. Now, here's a thing. Oh, because we were... Oh, no, we must do this before we get onto the major issue of what the fuck is going on. So we were talking about one of the things that comics love talking about. You know, sort of every profession's got all this, haven't they? You know, doctors will have, paramedics will have, you know, oh, there was a hilarious thing the other day when some grotesque thing. And ours is when people have come a cropper in front of audiences. And we won't mention any comics names, but you were telling me just the worst one just now.
When a comic was struggling and to sort of quietness, and somebody spoke in the audience, and the comic turned on the audience as to go, I'm doing my comedy here. And the audience turned around and went, we gave you a chance, which is a killer, isn't it? It's like, as soon as I heard that, I put both arms across my chest and just went, Just
I think
took a long
at
sleep.
Least a year in therapy to get over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's the kind, you know, that's when people at the store or wherever, you know, the places that are a bit lively, when people sort of try to work out the heckle that's going to destroy the comic and they come up with all these insults, they don't realise that's not what's good. It's that.
No.
The essence of that. We gave you a chance. That is the worst. Here's a thing. This is a very lovely northern thing that you do a lot, is wander around, going on walks and things in the Manchester region.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, it is. Without kind of any pretext or any thing, it's for the head as much as it is for the lungs and for the knees. It's for the it's the thing. I think there's something in us, primeval, that says we have to see the horizons every now and then. Mm. You have to see, what everything is, the curvature of the earth, and you also have to know how insignificant you are amongst all the splendour. And I'm lucky that I can do that without going too far. But I love it, mate. I love it. I love getting up there. I hate getting up a hill. But when you get to the top of it, and it's just amazing. And there's so many brilliant places around here. There's so many. But there's brilliant places everywhere. And it's not just countryside. I like just walking. I like a route and then to follow a route and get there and have a coffee and then come back. I like that sort of stuff. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's something that you sort of, I can see, like probably most people who don't do it think, oh, what do you want to go and do that for? Mm-hmm. But once you do it, it's a bit like cycling. I mean, I don't do it so much now, but I used to cycle a lot. And I'd always think, what am I doing that for? Especially if it was something mad, like, you know, I've done the news quiz or something, and I'd be thinking all a little bit full of myself. And then everyone else would be sort of, they'll get a cab back, and I'd be thinking, I've got to go and get changed into my cycling stuff, and it's 11:30, and I've now got to get on a bike. And an hour and a half after being all pleased with myself, making some satirical fucking point about bloody Norman Lamont or something, I'm now in the drizzle with people going, fuck, I'm trying to fucking wanker. And but once I got in, I'd feel like a king.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing beats. Do you know what it's like? Exactly like Mark. I bet people can resonate with this. I'll get the train out to somewhere and I'll go up a big hill. There's a place called Kinder Scout, which is like the biggest hill around here. It's where the Kinder Mass Trespass was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've got a poster on the wall behind me. I've got an actual poster of that. And I feel very connected with that because it was the working people of round here in Sheffield that climbed up there and just said to the lads, you know, no, this is it. This is open land and we're going to walk on it. Because the land's worth nothing. There's nothing, they're never going to build houses on it. And it's just, it should be enjoyed by everybody. But you get up there and you can get wet and you have your sandwiches and everything else. And then you come down and on the train on the way home from Edel or something, you get that prickly glow over you like you used to get when you've been playing out all day. You know that tired tingle? Oh, it's so good. It's such a great feeling. You know, and nowadays, obviously, we've all got, you know, brilliant cameras in our hands with our phones. So you're capturing all their memories and everything else. And me and my pals will walk out and there's three of us in a gang and we call ourselves the Last of the Summer Wine. Because it is like middle-aged men roaming around the northern countryside. And we just repeat the mantra. It's good for the head, isn't it? It's good for the head. It is good for the head. It's important.
I used to go quite a lot for one reason or another up to Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, to Rivington, very close to Rivington.
Rivington Pike,
where there's a big mast that you can see for about 30 miles from Winter everywhere. Hill. You can see that pike. Winter Hill, yes. Now, Winter Hill, the two things, the Rivington Pike, I think it was Good Friday. Everyone in the town of Horwich would walk up there and back again. And so each year people would say, have you been up that pike yet? And it was just sort of a thing that it was just assumed. If anyone was to say, why would I have been up the pike? Then everyone would just stare at them because that's what you do on Good Friday. You go up the pike. What do you mean?
Do you know why those places exist, don't you? So there's Rivington Pike, there's Turton Tower in Bolton, there's one in Ashton-under-Lyne called Hartshead Pike, and there's all these, and people go, oh, they're lanterns, you know, for people to send messages across. No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they weren't. They were built by the mill owners. Yeah. So when the working people had Sundays off, they were just to walk to and back. So they would get their exercise and not drink too much and cause disturbance.
Right.
So there's loads of them. There's a great one in Darwin called Darwin Tower. And
Darwin, yeah.
get in it and you can go up the steps and go up. And there's one over Hebden Bridge as well, which is beautiful. Big one in Hebden Bridge that you can go up. Yes. Quite famous.
I did an in-town show in Hebden Bridge and we went up there. Yeah.
Stoodley Pike, that's one. But the one in Darwin, if you go up it, you go up it so high and you look across and on a good day you can see Blackpool Tower. And I think, could you imagine taking your kids up a muddy hill, getting them piss wet through and freezing? Look, kids, look what you could be doing right now. You could be in the Mecca of the North enjoying yourself.
It's like bullseye. Yeah, that's what you could have won. Oh, but although I'm sure they served a purpose for the mill owners, as time went on, they became the demands of the working people. So Winter Hill was the site of a huge series of protests around 1895, I think. And they were led by a very small sort of far left group that was a little bit bonkers, like, you know, who could have imagined. But they led this massive protest because the landowners tried to block the common land being used by people. Mm-hmm. And they put all sorts of gates in front of it. And there was like massive battles.
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, it was won as part of the common land. Thousands of people used to go out there for the right to just stroll up and down.
My mate, Paul Valerie, he'll be listening to this. He's a good guy. If he sees, like, and there's loads of landowners do it now, they'll put a horse box in front of a stile and to deter you, or they'll grow nettles. And he just goes and reports them. He loves it. He's become the Victor Meldrew of the kind of the countryside. Because the farmers, and you can understand, if you're a farmer and you have a load of these oiks walking across your land and they're causing mischief and everything else, because not everybody who goes out in the countryside respects it. You know, so I suppose that's what they do. What is brilliant, and I love it, is if you drive over the Snake Pass from Glossop to Sheffield, about halfway before you get to Lady Bower Reservoir, just as you go around, just there's two things. As you go right at the top, what they call Snake Pass Summit, is the highest point in the Snake Pass. On your right-hand side, you can walk across to the aforementioned Kinder Scout, which is a nice gentle walk and you can get up there, and then down into Edale, which is a beautiful valley around there. On the other side, there's a plane crash and you can still see it. It's called Overexposed. It's a B-52 bomber or something that it's right on the edge. So when they were coming, before they had technology, they would guess where they were and they would, in the fog, they would come down too soon. I mean, literally right on the edge. This was in 1950 or something. This plane was carrying the wages for Burton Wood American Air Base and died, and everybody perished straight away. Within 3 hours, there was a US Marine Corps team up there, got the wages, came down, and then they went and got the bodies later. But there's still big engine pieces everywhere, and there's loads of those. But if you go further down, there's on the bend, there's a little car park, and there's kind of like a, I mean, it's not that exciting, but it's very photographic, a waterfall. And it's just convenient that you can pull your car up, frame the shot so it looks like you're in the middle of nowhere and have this beautiful Instagram picture of you next to a waterfall. And last weekend, I saw an amazing thing. I saw loads of families queuing up, and they were all, every single one of them, without any exception, either a Hasidic Jew or wearing burqas, and they were like full-on kind of Muslim families, but just queuing up very nicely together. It was such a nice thing just to see this kind of, like, give peace a chance by having a waterfall. It was lovely.
This is what the Rafa crossing needs. It needs a waterfall. or a two waterfall solution. Could they agree to that?
Yes, a two waterfall solution.
This is brilliant. Oh, there's one more thing I want to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's loads more things I'd love to talk to you about. But amongst the many, many things you've done, Justin, it must be, and I'm sorry if this is a pain because it's sort of, you know, it must be something that people often mention. But being in a Ken Loach film, that's pretty classy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the best thing I've ever done.
Right.
So I get the part in the Ken Loach film. It's great. Within 2 weeks of getting it, Ken Loach phones me up and says, can you come and meet Eric Cantona? He's going to be in the film. No one knows it, but we need to do some dialect with him because he's not been in Manchester for a while and he's forgotten how people speak around here. So he gets me, who talks like this, you're all right. and he gets John Henshaw, who talks out the side of his mouth. The two people you can't hear anyway, people from around here don't understand us. So we meet Eric and it's all great, and we do some improv with him. Beautiful, beautiful guy. We film everything. Everything's a joy. Nothing's a problem. He's such a great guy. I've never met him, as I say, what a hero he was. We make the film. I go and watch it with Alex Ferguson at my local cinema and the rest of the staff on Man United because they wanted his approval. We then go to Cannes with the film, and we walk down the red carpet like a football team with Cantona at the front, all singing, "Ooh, Cantona." The film has a 15-minute standing ovation. He's crying. His dad's there. It's a beautiful thing. We come back to Manchester and Ken Loach phones me and says, "Will you host the premiere?" And we host the premiere at the Red Cinema, which is in Salford, but you can see Old Trafford across the water from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I bring my mum and dad. My mate's got a chauffeur company, and he picks my mum and dad up in a Rolls Royce, which is not really the Ken Loach way of arriving at a movie, supposedly, but he arrives there, and my mum and dad enjoy it. I host the premiere. Ken Loach talks about the film and how he's got everybody the living wage who's working in the cinema for that evening. Everyone's been paid extra because he's the best guy in the world. And we put the film on. It's great. We're best seats in the house. And at the end, everyone loves the film. And I turn to my mum looking for some validation, you know? And I go, "Well, mum, what do you think?" And she went, "It got better towards the end." Right, cheers, mum.
Nothing's going to beat that. Thank you very much, Justin Morehouse.
See you soon, guys.
Oh, no, where are you? Where are you? Where are you doing?
Where does this come
people
out?
Can come and see you Saturday.
Oh, this comes out on Saturday. So if it's out on Saturday, I'm in Lancaster on Saturday night. I've just got a few dates left on tour. I'm here, there and everywhere. I'm filming this show, which is the first one I've filmed under my own terms, at the wonderful Shakespeare North in Prescott, which is a recreation of the Globe. And ooh. So we're filming it. It's going to be beautiful. I'm really looking forward to it. So I've got a few dates left on tour. And then I'm off to Edinburgh with my new show, which is going to be called The Greatest Performance of My Life.
Excellent. And tickets will be available soon, won't they, Edinburgh?
Yeah, it might be out by Saturday because it's an early bird thing. So, yeah.
Lovely to speak to you, Justin.
Take care. I hope you feel well soon. You're looking good.
Thank you.
You're looking, well, you're not looking, I mean, you're looking better than before you were ill, to be honest with you. You've this might be the best thing that ever
happened
to you.
I've lost a bit of weight. I think I'm going to do a little promo, I think. Hi, do you want to lose 2 stone in no time at all? Then follow the Mark Steele cancer diet. Look at these trousers. They're falling off me. What the fuck is, If you would like to hear more of that interview with Justin, then you can join us on Patreon, where there is an extended version available. And it is indeed thanks to our wonderful, virtuous, radiant, if there was any justice, beatified, saintly Patreon supporters that we can continue our quest to find out what the fuck is going on. Just follow the link on our Twitter page or search for Patreon, what the F, and for as little as £2 a month, you will get early access to ad-free, if you can imagine such thing, versions of the regular episodes. Or to really know at an advanced level what is going on, for just £4 a month, you'll get a longer ad-free version of the episode with extended versions of the guest interviews with extra Elliot and bonus sketches. This week, there's our money-saving expert, Martin Sunak, giving his advice on what the budget means for the common man or woman. All our Patreon supporters get the episodes on Friday nights, unlike everybody else who has to sit quivering, their eyes twitching, different internal organs just turning upside down, causing medical complaints hitherto undiscovered by the profession until they realise it's the stress of having to wait until Saturday morning. So search Patreon, what the F, to join the WTF community. What the fuck is going on? Chancellor Jeremy Hunt announced his budget this week, and it seems to have upset some people, especially this woman, who I overheard in a cafe.
Well, I heard Richard Madeley on Good Morning Britain talking about the budget. Apparently, we're all going to get 2 pence off our national insurance. So I said to the nanny, well, your national insurance must be in Albania, which means you should pay us the 2 pence, plus the £3,000 you owe us for nectarine breaking of ours, which was your fault because you surprised her when she was hiding her drugs in it. And she just started swearing at me in Albanian. And on top of that, Colin's lawyer's refusing to give me Nectarine's child benefit on the grounds that we're not entitled to it. I said, don't be ridiculous. They just said that you can get it even if you earn £60,000 a month. He said, it's £60,000 a year. As if anyone could live on that. And I need that money to pay for the revolving waterfall I'm having installed in the kitchen. And Calvados, our homeopath, who's been ghosting me ever since he realised he was married to someone else, wrote me a letter saying he's going to have to leave the country now that they're abolishing non-dom status. And so I hope Jeremy Sunak's pleased with himself. If he wanted to do something useful, he'd treble the VAT on Pringles. Then let's see if they need a head of marketing across the whole of the Reigate area. And worst of all, they've gone and scrapped the tax relief on second homes, which reminds me that I haven't got one anymore, thanks to Colin. And not having a second home counts as a disability, so I should be entitled to a week in Bali on universal credit. It's all so unfair. And yet every time I switch on the news, they're just going on about people in Gaza. But that's the trouble with some people. It's just me, me, me. Excuse me, does this vodka and watermelon cocktail have VAT on it? Well, it shouldn't do. It's an essential item.
It has come to the time of the week when the population, the animal population, even gases and minerals, stop what they're doing, the atoms sit still, patiently wait for the announcements so that they can know what it is that they have to do to be safe. I don't want to be one of those people going, health and safety gone mad. But sometimes you can't help but thinking when there are announcements on trains that don't forget that today is drier than normal and that dryness can suck up moisture. So be very careful with any bit of you that is moist and may become dry. And there are only 7 carriages on this train. And the last, if you're at the last one, do not step out of the door directly over the tracks. Step out of the train at one of the bits that is over the platform rather than a bit that falls directly onto the track. Make sure you do that sort of thing. And they do it on boats, no doubt. Customers are reminded that conditions outside the boat today are wet. If you are allergic to water, please do not jump off the deck into the English Channel. And now we must have our own announcements. There are announcements. Oh, here's one. So the in-town series is going to be recorded at some point in the summer. And there's one in Stoke that the date for that is going to be mentioned very, very soon. And then you come to all the other ones. It'd be as long as you're from the towns that are there. So there's one in Stoke, one in Margate. There's one going to be one in Malvern. Not quite sure of the other ones yet. But yeah, so that's going to be, and that's going to start on June the 24th, going out on Radio 4. Nobody listens to it at the designated time these days, does it? You'll all listen to it on July the 1st at 7:30 in the morning because you're rebels and won't be told what to do. Also, people have been getting in touch with us on our Patreon account as well as on Twitter wanting to know what the fuck is going on with certain things. Paul Lengthorn, one of our Patreon supporters, asks, exactly how ecstatic is Mark to learn that George Galloway is back in the headlines? I'm absolutely delighted that we've got one of our regular contributors back in his rightful place in Parliament. And I probably shouldn't say too much at this stage, Paul, but I think you'll find that Mike Concrete might very, very well be back in Parliament soon as well. There's a constituency where I think he's an absolute shoo-in, and he's very, very good at just gently teasing out opinions, and I think that's going to help him well in his campaign. We've also got a woman I overheard in a cafe. She's going to be, I think she's pretty much going to be the next Home Secretary. They're all going to be in there soon. Connie, 305715528. Now, I was nearly going to say 3075-1528. That's an entirely different Connie. But this Connie says, what the fuck is going on with taxpayers paying for the defamation costs of a serving minister, Michelle Donnellan? Now, well spotted, Connie, 305715528. Because this minister, Michelle Donnellan, She accused two academics of having extremist views, and one of them in particular of supporting Hamas. So this academic said, well, I'm not having that. I don't support Hamas. And there was a court case, which Michelle Donovan lost. But what about this? The costs were paid for by the taxpayer. How about that? You know, when they go, you know, all of them times, I know we've mentioned this already, but all of them times in the austerity days, when every 5 minutes they would go, furthermore, there are more accounts that have come to hand of taxpayers' money being wasted in profligate idiocy. Trafford Council, who have spent Trafford Council have spent no less than £34.50 in repairing the windscreen of one of their vans that broke. Meanwhile, ministers are expecting us to pay for their court costs when they just wander about saying, oh, I'll tell you your trouble, you support Hamas. And then they get the ump quite reasonably because they don't support Hamas. Sean on Patreon asks, is Rishi Sunak just a regular bloke? Apparently he likes to restock his dishwasher and make the bed whenever he can. This was in an interview. They shouldn't do these interviews where they go, oh, what are they like at home? Is Rishi Sunak, because you can only play into their hands, can't you? Once you go, so Rishi Sunak, do you ever do any chores at home? Of course he's going to say something like, well, I stack the dishwasher and I make the bed. Of course he's going to say things like that. Do you know what? I'm quite good at straightening the pictures. That's one of the things I like to do. In the morning, if there's a packet of bran flakes that's looking a little bit out of place, I like to put it back in place. I like to have all the apples symmetrical in a fruit bowl. Of course they're not going to go, oh, I'm not fucking doing that. I'm the Prime Minister. If I want the dishwasher stacked, then I just go out, right, and I get a homeless man and I beat him with thorns until he stacks the dishwasher in a way that is of my liking. Of course they're not. So all of this, we're going to try and find out if they're the normal person. That's the... Satchmo Distel asks, how would you compare the level of racism in the UK now within the 70s and 80s? Have we gone back to square one, or is it being driven by grifters and opportunists? And then, because that was a really, really fascinating question that you could imagine being the subject of a discussion piece in the Times or something. And then, Satchmo, you add at the end, and other cunts who don't represent the real public. That transforms the nature of the question, Satchmo. I wonder if... it'll be Fiona Bruce on Question Time next week. And we've got a question here from the audience and other cunts who don't represent the real public. Emily Thornbury, what are your feelings about these other cunts? Okay. No. No, Lawrence Fox, you will get your turn. But first of all, I just want to go to the audience. What do we think about the other cunts who don't represent the public? Have we got any cunts in the public? Yes, the man with the orange pullover. You are a cunt. Yes. Yes. Do you represent the real public or just cunts? I've forgotten the actual question now, Satchmo. Well, it's an integral part of the project, finding out what the fuck is going on, that you have to consult the younger generation, even though the younger generation is getting older by a week every week that we do it. Nonetheless, a 27-year-old is at hand. Elliot Steele, what the fuck is going on?
Well, have you seen the Ryan Garcia stuff?
No, what's that?
Do you know Ryan Garcia?
Not really.
The boxer.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
He's a very good boxer. He fought, he lost to Javante Davis.
Right, okay, yeah.
He's come out and said he was taken by the Illuminati to Bohemian Grove and forced to watch a child sex party.
Oh, well, the Illuminati.
By the Illuminati.
The people in the Da Vinci Code.
There's a fair few people on Twitter going, you see, we've said for years that this kind of thing's going on.
Oh, no.
And why would you go, hey, why don't we take Ryan Garcia into the woods, into Bohemian Grove, and force him to watch the elites of the world diddle children And then we're just going to like let him leave? Yeah. Is he not going to tell anyone about this? Maybe, but I don't know. Like, why would that happen?
No, it does seem that there are several flaws in the logic. I think he's not well. Is probably.
No, you think?
I think he's not well.
Do you think Ryan Gosling?
But then I thought that about David Icke. So 30 years ago, when you first heard, like David Icke, this was incredible when this happened. David Icke was an ex-goalkeeper for Coventry.
I know, you don't need to explain who David Icke is.
No, but you know, on the off chance that someone's listening.
I have smoked a lot of weed and watched a lot of YouTube. I'm familiar with his work.
On the off chance of someone listening who has smoked less weed and watched less YouTube, we can't just assume that, can we?
Imagine people if know who David Icke is.
We don't all know who David Icke is.
But Dad, you do this thing with stories where you start, there's like an interesting point that's about to be made, and then you fuck off on a 3-minute tangent because you're about to say that he was a goalkeeper for Coventry, and then you're going to tell me a time you actually watched him in goal against Chester or something. And the whole time, me and the listeners are going to be sat here going, what's the point of the thing that you're saying?
Well, I'll tell you what, he made a brilliant save from point blank range, turned it around the corner. When he was goalkeeper.
Yeah, but David Icke, he
I don't think we should forget that.
But he thinks the world is run by lizards, which he then had to disprove. You know, he got like held in Canada. He wasn't allowed to cross from Canada. I think it might have been Canada or the US. He was like held because they thought he was doing hate speech because they thought they thought he meant Jews. They thought lizard was like a dog whistle for Jews. That the world.
Well,
is
I think he
Jews,
has. But- I think he has spoke. He has repeated a lot of unpleasant stuff about Jews. David Icke. Yeah. Control the world and all that.
Must but be he one said of the it was lizards.
Yeah, he's give him his due, even though he's been pretty horrible about Jews. He's been even nastier about lizards.
Well, that's the thing he had to prove to get through, like, US customs, was that he was going, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I genuinely believe lizards run the royal family.
But the point I'm making, if I'm allowed, is that... He was a snooker presenter, by the way. Did you know that? So that's three amazingly disconnected things he's done. Goalkeeper, snooker presenter, purveyor of stories about lizards controlling the world. There can't be many people who've had three more disparate careers than that.
Matt Letitiae?
No, Matt Letitiae's not in the same league. He was a scorer of a series of spectacular goals for Southampton, and then follows that he's the one who follows David Icke.
Yeah, I mean David Icke could say to him,
"I am the one who knocks."
Conspiracy theories are what used to be fun because it was like there's no gold behind the Federal Reserve and all of this. There's no gold in currency, and now it's QAnon. And it's gone to did you follow any of the QAnon stuff?
A little bit,
So QAnon was this person. Again, journalists within 2 days of doing their job were able to disprove this, massively. But that, of course, the great thing with these conspiracy theories is when they're disproved, it's, oh, that's part of the elites tracking that. You're mainstream media. So QAnon was meant to be, it was Agent Q who was harping Trump's party, and they were saying that like Trump was at war and about to expose all these paedophiles and stuff, and then it got more and more, all these people, like when Oprah Winfrey interviewed Harry and Meghan, they were like, they're actually under house arrest, that's why there's no shots of their legs, because they're on an electronic tag, because they're under house arrest, because the FBI are raiding them all for being paedophiles, because that's what you do with paedophiles. You put them under house arrest before you actually arrest them.
Let them be interviewed by Oprah Winfrey.
They're under house arrest. But, you know, we're under house arrest for being paedophiles, but we better do this interview that's going to be watched by half the world. And they're just, it's insanity. And I think what it is online means loads of people who are mentally ill are now able to talk to each other. Whereas what it used to be, so when I came to meet you in hospital yesterday, there was a lady pushing a trolley who, when I came to meet you and then left because you had to go in for the operation, was still stood there after when I first walked by, just going, Jesus is coming and he's going to... And
oh, really?
Like, oh, that's what mentally ill people used to do. You used to see them every now and then on the street screaming in the air about Jesus. But now they go online and talk to each other.
Yeah.
And they're all...
She probably is one of the people that you probably read someone like that. And then there's all people going, oh, look at this idiot. And then they spend all day answering her.
Mm.
Unaware that she's actually someone who's just...
They genuinely believe. And then what you have is you have like grifters who have to start like placating towards them because that's where they make their money is now.
I think it was another that did the operation, by the way.
They don't just go right wing. They go like to this weird realm. Mm. Like Andrew Tate and that do it now where they're like, they start saying that like the Matrix and it's involved with the devil and all of this stuff. And it's like, Andrew Tate, as much as I dislike him, he's obviously quite a switched on bloke. I know he doesn't believe that. Like he's.
It makes it very, very difficult to counter it. I mean, it's hard enough at the best of times, you know, if you're trying to sort of resist the normal old right-wing ideas and stuff where people going, oh, is there, you know, 80% of money in this country spent on immigrants or something like that. And you can at least sort of try your best to lay out a series of facts that show that it's not the case. But once you've got all this, once you've got the devil involved, then facts really aren't going to help you very much. You can't disprove the devil by going... Well, I think that actually, geologically, if we look at the end, they go, it's the fucking devil, mate. Yeah, that trumps all of your stuff.
Well, that's religious people in general. But you have to remember with religious people, and I realised this years ago because I'm not particularly religious. I realised that like, oh, it's belonging to a club. You're part of a club. You were raised in, you know, it's a very good things about religion. Like, you know, the idea and the sense of community that it raises people. When you look at people who are Muslim, then they raise each other, help. And it's a community thing within the mosque. The same within Christianity. It's a community thing within the church. So then an attack, it's an attack upon a community if you try to disprove that, which is what I've realized it really is. I don't think many people really believe wholeheartedly in God. I bet if they were to be completely honest, they'd be like, yeah, it doesn't really make any sense, but I want to go. I was told when I was a kid there's a heaven and I want to go there, so right. I'm gonna just believe it. But it's attacking their community the same way these people now who are all going like, oh, look here, Barack Obama hand was here during this speech. There was some funeral where they were like, they got handed a note and they were like, you can see all the elites, like the ex-presidents, they're reading a note about that they're all going to be arrested soon and that Trump. They believed that John F. Kennedy wasn't dead, some of these people,
right.
And that Trump was going to bring him back. He was going to come back and work with Trump. I'm not kidding. That's where this conspiracy ended up going.
Oh, no.
Assassinated on film.
But when I was your age, we would sort of look at this and go, ha ha. And now we look at it, and the person involved in the middle of that might well be about to become president of America for the second time. Yeah. Voted in by people who, oh, no. If there is a rocket to another planet, can we book tickets?
I fucking hope so. Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Elliot Steele. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you've liked it, rate it, and if you can be bothered, write a review. If you can't be bothered, absolutely write a review. Form a team of people, your old school friends, people that you've fallen out with, get together and create a community somewhere in the Black Forest or something and discuss it for years and then write it. If there is anything at all that you think I should be finding out what the fuck is going on with it, please send me a message on Twitter at WTFisGoingOnPod, at WTFisGoingOnPod, and we will look at every message that you send. If you would like to become a WTF supporter for as little as £2 a month and get early access to ad-free, and extended versions, please visit our Patreon page. What the Fuck Is Going On was hosted by me, Mark Steele, with my guests Justin Morehouse and Elliot Steele. Voices by Sarah Alexander and Pete Sinclair. It was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair. The music was by Willie Dowland. It was produced by Mike Benwell at Carousel Studios. What the Fuck Is Going On was brought to you by WTF Productions.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.